Hello, you're listening to Passages for Life, the ministry of Passages Church, and this is Pastor Dennis Smith. I am so excited once again that you have joined us in worship. Passages exist to reach up to God in giving Him glory, to reach in to the church to provide teaching and worship opportunity, extra support to the church, and to reach out to those who may not know Christ as Lord and Savior. I'm glad you joined us today. Our scripture passage will be from 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to pick up with verse 13. The Apostle Peter talks about holiness, and we often think of God as being holy, and He's the greatest example of holiness. But did you know He calls us to be holy? He gives us His holiness when we surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So positionally, we can have holiness, but we need to do it in a practical sense as well, because we're told, be holy. It's a choice that we make to set ourselves apart in a way that would honor and glorify Jesus Christ as Lord. So I want to encourage you to follow along in that scripture passage and study with us. Also, one of the things that we do that reflects on our need of holiness is as we look back in our time of communion, a time of the Lord's Supper, when we hold those emblems, the bread and the cup, as a symbolic representation to remind us of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, His body broken, His blood shed for us. We'll be sharing in that experience together later in the service. Let's join together in prayer at this time. Lord, we come to You thanking You for another opportunity where we can worship together through this ministry of Passages Church. I pray that the words that are spoken, that the songs that are presented, that everything that's done, it will be for Your glory, and that the body of Christ will be built up, and that souls would find that You indeed are the answer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And thy conduct
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'"
King of glory, seated on high in the heavens, oh, Jesus, you alone. You are the Lord God Almighty, strong in compassion and mercy, oh, Jesus, you alone. I've searched the world for a love that could fill my heart, but nothing compares to the wonder of who you are. Holy, all the earth singing, holy, all angels cry, holy, Jesus, you alone, Jesus, you
your blood for salvation. You broke the curse for our freedom. Oh, Jesus, you alone.
We began our study in the first epistle of Peter last week, and there are several things that I mentioned that we know about Peter related to his family, related to the fact that he was a fisherman, and we know those things. There's some other things that I didn't mention last week that we know about him that we're very familiar with. Peter was the one who probably said some things at times where he just wished he kept his mouth shut. And I can really identify with that. On one occasion, when Peter was on the boat with the other disciples and they were afraid when they saw a figure coming to them on the water, and Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, it is I." And Peter says, "Lord, if it be you." Notice he said, "Lord, if it be you." He just kind of wanted to put that out there just in case. "Then bid me come to you on water." I'm not sure that he thought that through completely, because Jesus said, "Come on." Well, we might pick on Peter because we know he took a step and then he sank. He began to sink. And Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith." But you know what? I commend Peter because he at least spoke up and he took a step. Sometimes we just don't do that. But he took a step. He began to sink. And we know that about Peter. We also know that in his boldness of speaking out, when Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus commended Peter on that confession. We also know that when Jesus said that his disciples would flee and that they would deny him, Peter said, "I would never, ever, ever, ever deny you, Lord. Even if everybody else were to deny you, I would never deny you. Jesus told him, before the cock crows twice, you will have denied me three times. Well, it happened exactly as Jesus said. And when he heard that rooster crow the second time, he realized. Have you ever had something just all of a sudden hit you? And it hit him, and it broke him. And the thing we know about Peter is he repented. And I think another thing that's very special about the life of Peter is that when Jesus arose from the grave, one of the first people that he wanted to see was Peter. I think he just couldn't wait to let Peter know that he was forgiven. See, the thing that's different about Peter and Judas is Judas betrayed Jesus and he didn't repent. But Peter, he denied Jesus and he repented. And we see a change in Peter because on the day of Pentecost, in verse 37 of Acts 2, it was Peter who said, "Let the house of Israel know assuredly that it is you who has crucified Jesus, who is both Lord and Christ." And they were cut to the heart and interrupted the message and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, that was bold. He was speaking boldly on the day of Pentecost, and we know that thousands came to know Christ. So this is kind of the backdrop of Peter's life, and we see his dedication. But what's taking place now, this is at a time of the dispersion of believers in Rome. And it's a very troubling time as Nero is persecuting, torturing believers, blaming them for Rome being burnt. Some actually believe that it was Nero who started it because he just kind of wanted a clean slate and he wanted something to blame the Christians for, and to have everybody just irate with believers. So I don't know if it was the case that he started the fire, but history tells us he didn't really do a lot to put it out, and he certainly did persecute believers. So we have all that in the backdrop, and Peter is writing this letter to these Christians who are dispersed. And he tells them in chapter 1, verse 13, "Therefore gird up the loins of your mind." Now, what does that mean? Well, girding up the loins was something that you would do if you were wearing a dress or a tunic. I mean, let's face it, even the men were wearing gown-like clothes back then. It wasn't anything weird. It was just that that was the clothing of the day. And if you had to run for some reason, or maybe you had to work and you could be tripping over the garment, what you would do is you would kind of roll up that outer garment and tuck it in your belt. And that was called girding your loins. And we might kind of use a different word picture. You know, when we're talking about doing our work, we might say it's time to roll up our sleeves and get to work. And so in a way of speaking, Peter is saying it is time to work. Now, he's not talking about your salvation is by works. He's just saying it's time to do something. Gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, have control of your mind. Have the focus of your mind be in a way that would glorify Christ, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, now, not to be alarmed. The grace that is brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ, we are living under His grace today if we know Christ as our Savior. So it's grace upon grace. It's grace that we have now and grace then, because grace means unearned favor. And if I have His unearned favor now, and I have His unearned favor then, it's just grace that I have now and grace that I have then. So then He moves from what I'm calling our work to our walk, because He says, as obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. So, not to be conformed to the former things. You know, when we became Christians, there should be something different about us, that people could look at us and that they see there's a change. And if there is nothing different about us from the world, then something really is wrong. You know, the way that we speak and the way that we think and the way that we act should be affected by the fact that we know Christ as Savior. Now, I'm not talking about perfection, and I'm not talking that if you slip in some way that you aren't really saved. Nothing like that. But this should be something that we get convicted that we want to do that which is right. Now, there are so many things when we read not to be conformed, it doesn't mean that you can't have any fun. I remember a man that I was talking to probably 30 years ago who told me that he was raised in Indiana. His dad was a very conservative Pentecostal church, and they preached against watching TV. Well, kind of given to where TV has gone, I'm kind of getting it more and more. But anyhow, there was only three channels back then. There wasn't a lot that you could choose from, and you know, you couldn't get into too much stuff like you can with the internet today. And so, anyhow, he said that when he and his wife got married, they had a mobile home that was on his dad's property. And his dad always preached against the evils of watching TV. But he said that he and his wife wanted to watch TV. So they went and bought a little one. They would put blankets on the windows and just cover it up and go into a room and be a very dark room. And said, but wouldn't you know it, every time we did it, Dad would preach on Sunday morning about it. And he said, I'd get under conviction and I'd go bust up another TV. And, well, that's kind of extreme here, because that's not a thing that is conforming to the world. The idea of conforming to the world doesn't mean that we can't have things that we enjoy. It doesn't mean that we can't go to movies. Although I remember the day that churches even preached against that. I never went to one that did, but I remember that they preached against that. They preached against playing with playing cards. You could play with old maid cards, but you couldn't play with playing cards. Never quite got that. I guess it was because of how they were used for gambling, but horses are used for gambling, and people have horses and car races. They even gamble, and people have cars, so not really getting that one. So many things that churches can come up with as rules that they say are conforming to the world are not necessarily things that conform to the world. Now, certainly we could use any of those things in such a way that we've conformed to the world. just as we could use the TV or internet in a way that would show that we're conformed to the world. But the idea of what Peter is saying is that our lives are to be different. And so he goes from our work and our walk to our will. You know, it's his will that we would be holy. The word holy is the Greek word hagios, and it means to be morally pure and set apart. It can have both of those meanings. But you ask people, you know, what the word holy means, and a lot of people think it's just a word that you use in front of something else when there's an exclamation. You know, back in the days of the old Batman TV series, Robin would always be, "Holy spare tire Batman," or "Holy hubcap Batman." Everything was using the word holy. Now, really, I should have been bothered by that. But back then, I was a kid. And, you know, the word holy, it is actually just a word. But the word means to be set apart. It is a word that means that we should be seeking to have a purity in our life. And why should we be holy? Because he says, "I am holy." Now, this isn't Peter saying that he's holy. This is God saying, "Be holy, for I am holy." And as believers, we should be emulating the Lord in the things that we do. We need to walk, we need to work, and we need our will to be focused on His holiness and our emulating Him. He doesn't give us all these rules that just make no sense. You know, it's not that we can't have any fun, but we should have a pattern in our life. Actually, there's a Greek word that is used in reference here, talking about a pattern, and our pattern should not be the ways of the world, but the ways of Christ. And so, as we come to our time of communion, I want us to be thinking about how we need to be holy, separate, set apart. All the words that we think of with holiness, so that we can glorify Him. And as you pick up the bread, hold that and think about the holiness of God and how Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, how He gave His life, how He took those nails in His hands, in His feet, the spear in His side, and the fact that He would put Himself through that, and then bearing the sins of the entire world on the cross. Think about the cup as you pick it up, and think about the blood that was shed. You know, in Deuteronomy, there's a verse that talks about life is in the blood. Truly for us, there is life in the blood of Christ, eternal life in the blood of Jesus Christ. So after the prayer, I'll be playing some music that would just kind of be in the background for you as you meditate and pray and partake of the emblems to remember Christ in this special way at the time that you feel led. Lord, we come to you thanking you for your sacrifice and that you have modeled for us holiness, that you have modeled purity, that you have given us an example that we can follow. We thank you for the holiness that paid the price on the cross. For Lord Jesus, you were separated from sin. You were separated from the things that we may even be drawn to because you chose. It was your will to do the Father's will. As we come together now, Lord, for everyone that's listening, help each of us to strive to be holy as you're holy as we commune with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to Passages for Life, the ministry of Passages Church. We're always glad to have folks listening. And be sure and drop us a line and just let us know that you listened. And if there are any prayer requests, just know that we will take the time to lift your prayer request up before the Lord. Be sure and share our ministry with your friends and family. All we're about is getting the word and the worship out, and for Jesus Christ to be glorified through it. So again, thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next week with another service of Passages for Life.